This is a Kim Monson National News Briefing. Congress has enacted no comprehensive immigration statute in 39 years. Major floor attempts since 1986 have died at the Senate's 60-vote cloture threshold, or passed one chamber and gone untouched by the other. Alan Thomas, who teaches the Federalist Papers class for Kim Monson Show members, traced the pattern to Federalist 38. Congress has enacted no comprehensive immigration statute in the 39 years since the Immigration Reform and Control Act became law on November 6, 1986. By comprehensive, lawmakers and scholars mean a statute that pairs enforcement with a path to legal status, which is what that 1986 law did and what nothing since has managed. The major floor attempts in the years since failed in a pattern the roll calls make plain, because some died when the Senate could not muster the 60 votes needed to close debate, several of those with a majority voting yes, while others passed one chamber and were never taken up by the other, and one died as a standalone bill whose text became law 4 days later inside an omnibus spending package. That record is the backdrop to an argument Alan Thomas made on the July 31st broadcast of The Kim Monson Show. Thomas, who teaches the Federalist Papers class for the show's membership community, applied to immigration policy the analogy James Madison used in Federalist 38, where a sick man is warned off his physician's prescription by objectors who cannot agree among themselves on what to put in its place. "Saying no just keeps the status quo," Thomas said. Madison published Federalist 38 anonymously as Pub Lewis in the New York Packet in January 1788. He turns to a patient whose disorder is daily growing worse, who picks his own physicians, hears them agree unanimously on the cure, and then watches bystanders step in to forbid it. Madison then puts the question directly. In the text published by the Avalon Project at Yale Law School, "Might not the patient reasonably demand, before he ventured to follow this advice, that the authors of it should at least agree among themselves on some other remedy to be substituted?" Madison then turned the analogy on the country. "Such a patient and in such a situation is America at this moment," he wrote, before asking whether any two of the objectors agreed on what should replace the plan they opposed. "Let them speak for themselves," he wrote, and he set their answers side by side. One objector wanted a confederation of states where the Constitution created a government over individuals, while a second accepted a government over individuals and objected only to its extent. An objector from a large state attacked the equal representation of states in the Senate, while an objector from a small state attacked the unequal representation in the House. The naming of the Constitution's opponents was itself a stroke of politics, Thomas said on the broadcast. The people Madison was answering disliked the label they were given. Historian Saul Cornell, writing for the Gilder Lehrman Institute of American History, records that anti-federalists were never happy with their name, and he quotes Elbridge Gerry, who sat through the Constitutional Convention and refused to sign, reminding his fellow congressmen that those who were called anti-federalists at the time complained that they had injustice done them by the title, because they were in favor of a federal government and the others were in favor of a national one. Ugonna Eze, a fellow for constitutional studies at the National Constitution Center, writes that the opponents of the new plan came to be known as the Anti-Federalists. The Senate's own roll call records show where the modern attempts stopped. Senators invoked cloture 69-23 in May 2007 on the motion to take up Senate Bill 1348, the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act of that year, and 17 days later, cloture on the bill failed 34-61. The Senate never voted on passage, and the last action recorded on the bill is a further cloture failure that same evening, 45-50, on a substitute amendment. A rewritten version, Senate Bill 1639, cleared cloture on the motion to proceed 19 days later, 64-35, and then failed cloture 46-53 on June 28, 2007. Narrower bills stopped at the same place. Senate Bill 2205, the DREAM Act of 2007, dealt only with the status of people brought to the United States as children, and cloture, on the motion to proceed, failed 52-44 on October 24, 2007, the only roll call vote in the bill's life. 3 years later, the House passed the DREAM Act by 216 votes to 198 as an amendment riding on House Bill 5281, and Senate cloture failed 55-41 on December 18, 2010. A majority of senators voted yes in both of those votes, and the measures died anyway, because ending debate takes 60. The sharpest sequence runs across a single week of the 118th Congress. House Bill 815 began as a veterans' health care bill and had become the vehicle for emergency supplemental spending, and on February 7, 2024, with a bipartisan border enforcement agreement in play, the third cloture motion on the motion to proceed failed 49-50. That vote settled whether the Senate would take the measure up at all, so the chamber never reached the agreement's text. Senators reconsidered the next day, invoked cloture 67-32, and on February 12 adopted a substitute offered by Senator Patty Murray, SMD, 1388, on a 66-33 vote that left the border provisions out. House Bill 815 then passed the Senate 70-29 on February 13, a swing of 21 votes on the same vehicle in 6 days. The House rewrote it and sent it back. The Senate concurred 79-18 on April 23, and it became Public Law 118-50 the next day, carrying emergency aid for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific with no border provisions in it. A separate border measure came up in May. Senate Bill 4361, the Border Act of 2024, would have given the Department of Homeland Security emergency authority to turn away migrants near the southwest border once encounters cross set thresholds, and cloture on the motion to proceed failed 43-50 on May 23, 6 yes votes below the February tally. Two comprehensive bills cleared the Senate outright. Senate Bill 2611, the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act of 2006, drew 73-25 on cloture and passed 62-36 on May 25, 2006, after 36 roll call votes on the floor. Senate passage is the last action Congress.gov records for it, because the House had passed its own enforcement-only measure, House Bill 4437, 239-182 the previous December, and each chamber left the other's bill alone. House Bill 4437 went to the Senate Judiciary Committee in January 2006 and stayed there. The same thing happened in 2013. Senate Bill 744 cleared cloture on the motion to proceed 82-15 and passed the Senate 68-32 on June 27, 2013. The final entry on its Congress.gov actions page reads, "Senate ordered measure printed as passed." And the House record shows Judiciary Committee hearings before referral in May 2013 and no floor action afterward. Immigration legislation has also reached the statute book by riding on a bill that had to pass. House Bill 2202, the Immigration Control and Financial Responsibility Act of 1996, went to conference, and the last action Congress.gov records for it is a cloture motion on the conference report presented in the Senate on September 26, 1996, which was never disposed of. Its provisions were law 4 days later. The House agreed to the conference report on House Bill 3610, the Omnibus Appropriations Act carrying the immigration text, by 370-37 on September 28. The Senate agreed by voice vote on September 30, and the package became Public Law 104-208 that day. The law that still governs is the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, which paired employer sanctions and border enforcement with legalization for long-term residents who qualified. The Senate passed it 69-30 in September 1985. The House agreed to the conference report 238-173 in October 1986, and it became Public Law 99-603 on November 6, 1986. Every attempt since has stopped short of that. In case after case, comprehensive and narrow alike, the House and Senate records repeat one pattern, because the chamber holding the bill never voted on what was in it and no replacement policy was agreed to in its place. Where a chamber did vote and the measure carried, it crossed to the other chamber and stopped. That is the predicament Madison put to his readers in January 1788. "And so we need to try and get incremental changes," Thomas said on the show. move the ship and point it towards the right direction. Because if we do nothing, if we just vote no on everything, the ship is never going to change course. And now, Kim's perspective. 39 years is a long time to be told that Washington is working on it. What I see in this record is a Congress that keeps finding ways around the vote, because a cloture motion that fails 49-50 sends everyone home without anyone saying yes or no to the policy itself. Madison asked the objectors to come forward with a remedy of their own, and that is still the right question for our elected representatives. If you are against the bill, tell us what you are for, and then put your name on it in a recorded vote. Our neighbors deserve to know where their representatives stand. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson National News Briefing.